It is the Wednesday edition. The mini camp day edition. The Mark Tauscher is off the roller and back in his undisclosed location. How much damage did he do to that parking lot edition? And the God, I hate this. I hate this. And we're going to do something that I hate, and I hate it. And yes, I do hate it. That is the word I'm using. I don't hate people. Oh, maybe there's a couple. But I really hate doing this, and we're going to do it anyway. I'll tell you what it is next edition of Wildy and Tausch. A 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need, WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay, Jesse Nelson back in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios, and back in his undisclosed location. The big roller, the big paver, Mr. Johnson and Sons. I wonder if they're changing the name. Johnson and they're Sons not. And Old T Paving.
No, they're not.
It is the Packers Hall of Famer, but not a Hall of Fame paver. It is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. Am I a Hall of Fame paver? No. But I will say, from the time I jumped on, which was about 11:45 yesterday, till I got off, I had improved probably as much as anybody on the paving in the paving community yesterday.
You because, don't know that.
No, I'm just telling you, old boy, who was the quarterback. So it's funny how you can relate football and teamwork to almost every job.
No doubt.
Well, yesterday I get there and I get thrown right out. You know, guys are raking, and they're working, and they're doing all the groundwork, a.k.a. offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Then, on the back of the paver, there's two incredibly skilled dudes that are doing the making sure they're on the edges and making sure things stay straight. Those are your skill guys, your wideouts. Then, you got old boy, who's up on the top, who's the quarterback, kind of making sure that the paver, I quarterbacked for a little bit yesterday, where you're actually up on the paver and you're driving it. So, and you had a coach come up and say, hey, old T, you're really being jerky here because your hand isn't flat on the panel. If your hand is flat, you're going to be more still, and it's not going to be. So we did that. We improved. And then they put it on me to back the thing up. Like, oh, I had to back that thing up. And it is no small thing backing that thing up. Backed it up and had to get it loaded from the dump truck full of asphalt. What are you doing?
What? Please don't do that back that thing up anymore.
That's what I had to do. I did say it like that. But that's where I was, and so we did. I think I did three rounds of paving, and it was a fun day out at out in Muskego with the squad at Johnson and Sons Paving.
So
got the job done.
You did, and it was. I saw the social media posts. It was a great thing. They're obviously a great partner. I'm really looking forward to them doing our driveway, although...
Matter of fact, Jason, I mentioned that to Jason and their team, and they are very open to coming up and hopefully, I don't know, do we have to do a full-on reload of your driveway, or is it patchwork? Because now, I mean, from a scheduling standpoint, you need to get moving.
Yeah, you're right.
You can't get cold.
The training camp's right around the corner, too.
Obviously... Yeah. Johnson and Sons is very busy, so if you're going to do this, get moving on it.
Well, I want to make sure that if I do it, I get the person who improved as a paver as much as anyone in the history of the industry.
I didn't say in the history.
The
don't cut. I didn't say anything about. In
you
the
improved
history.
As no, much as anyone was the quote.
Don't make me back that thing up to check the tape.
Yes, I did say that, but not in the history. Okay.
Okay, because that segues right
I have into... one. I did have one bone to pick with the JSP squad yesterday.
What? Don't I jeopardize did. My so don't I get jeopardize up... my driveway if you're picking a
No, bone. We're going to be fine. So we get there, and asphalt, as you know, is incredibly hot. In order to get it to like settle and do what it's it needs true. To do, it's got to be good and warm. I don't know the temp. I don't know if Maddie – I saw the clips that Maddie put out. I don't know. We had a great discussion, very educational for me, where they have to get the asphalt heated up, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I go, and I'm sitting on the driver's seat. I'm driving the paver. I'm making the stops.
I'm driving the paver, asphalting.
And then I go, and after about three rounds, I could, you know, I had my fill, and I think the team had their fill. It was, you know, let's get our job going. They could not have been more welcoming. I'm just going to say that. So mm-hmm. I go sit on the passenger seat. So I was the backup quarterback for the last round. And okay. I sit down, and I'm telling you, this seat's like 120 degrees. And I just thought, oh, it's hot out. The sun's going. You got leather. You got asphalt. You got everything that would make it be warmer. There's a heat seater on the seat. Why would, and I asked him, I said, why do we need a heat seater on the asphalt, on the paver, when
on
it's always going to be, exactly. So I had to flip that, and once I flipped that off, I was riding in style on that paver, as comfortable as a bear. But before that, what the heck? I was just confused why there would be a heat seater on a paver seat up in front. I didn't get that.
Are you sure that because this yes. is another similarity between the NFL and an offensive line, having gotten to do that story 20 years ago in your offensive line room, are you sure they weren't just blanking with you?
I thought that.
They turned on the seat heater just to turn up the heat a little bit on your tuchus unnecessarily.
Yeah,
you're sitting there going, God, why is it so hot on this seat?
It's a fair question. I asked them that, and they said no. Does that mean that is exactly how
well,
it played out?
We don't know how that got turned on.
It's a fun prank if that's what they ended up doing. I'm fine with it, but I didn't understand why it was even there in the first place. Because, as I said, you can't – like a heat seater in your car, you're not cranking that on unless it's –
Not a heat seater.
What am I saying?
Heat seater.
Okay. A seat heater. If you're when do you actually crank your seat heater on?
Winter.
20
it's
degrees?
Cold in the winter. Yeah.
Okay, sure. 20 degrees, is that fair?
Sure.
Sure.
Maybe 25.
So obviously, you ain't pouring a ton of asphalt when it's less than freeze. Like, if it's 32 and below, you got to be – I don't even know if you can because of the water and all the other stuff that you need – I don't know, but I know this. You
Best
don't need
in the
to have
industry.
A seat heater. You don't know. I never said that. You don't need to have a seat heater on a paver. That's
Fair.
What I learned yesterday.
Yeah.
Heat seater.
No, now I'm doing it.
Heat seater, indeed. All right. So what other feedback did you get from your teammates as you drew this comparison between a football team and the Johnson & Sons paving team? What? Because, look, it was – there was a palpable, because you're a confident guy. You don't play 11 years in the NFL without believing in yourself. Maybe you had some doubts at times, but you sounded
sure.
going in less than confident. And then when the first thing we heard from you was, uh-oh, when you got on the paper.
There were a couple of
there
whoas.
Were some moments.
Whoa.
Yeah, it is a big machine. Like, it's a big old machine that I just didn't want to – A, I didn't want to screw up the job site because you got to move. Like, time is money in the paving world. Like, if you're out there and your crew doesn't have asphalt, hey, you're getting paid. You got to go.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So that part, you know, I wanted to make sure I was doing it. I didn't want to be, like, all swervy and screw up the – you know, the parking lot of what was going on. So
don't want to be
I don't want to ever be a burden to anybody. That is one of my big things. Like, I
Except
don't want to
here.
Be a burden. No, trust me. If that's the case, I ain't very cumbersome. Let just put it that way. So that was
Not
my main
all.
Focus. And then the other thing, you know, I have the little baby roller that's still sitting right here. You know, this little guy.
Yeah, it's adorable.
Not the paver, the roller. Yeah. And I was going to go and do that as a finisher. But I found out that job, that's not for some slap. That's just not slappy. Like, you can ruin a project if you don't know what the hell you're doing. So I said,
ooh.
And that was related to being the field goal kicker on the squad. That is your Mason Crosby. I'm not sure
game
if
on the line.
Carlson yet. We don't know who is going to be rolling our pavement trying to pave a way to a championship for the G&G this year. But we do know they said, well, you know, the paver kind of sits around, has to let all the work get done, and then has to come in and close up shop, has to be precise.
Closer.
So that was kind of the four things. Then obviously you have the big dogs would be Mark Murphy and, you know, that team. You have your management that makes sure that there's jobs that need to get done so that the workers can go work and all that. So it is literally the equivalent of a football team, the JSP team. It all matches itself up.
Well, we're glad that you didn't ruin the project for starters, because that could have been a problem.
What's that picture of the Packers right behind you? Who is that? It's right over your right shoulder.
This was one of my favorite Goodwill finds. This would be the.
All right, don't. Let's see how many we can name.
Okay.
Jesse, go ahead. Johnny Holland is one of them.
I don't know if I can name any of them just by faces.
Johnny Holland is definitely
Johnny Holland.
One of them.
Okay, now you got it in my face. Slide over to your left.
This is great.
Oh, Brian Noble. Is that Brian Noble? 91?
No. Well, that's 96,
what number is
that? I think. I think that's a 6.
I feel like this would have been a better digi.
That is
Okay, let's pull that down. We'll digi
on
me.
That's on me.
Well, Jesse, it wouldn't be a bad thing for you to chime in earlier on the digi only and doing it.
We spent the entire segment talking about your paving experience, and out of the blue, hey, who's on that picture behind you there, Wildy? Yeah, should have planned for that.
Totally, I'll absorb some of the blame for that. I shouldn't have either A, had that in Tausch's sight line to distract him, or B, said, well, let's go through that during a commercial break on a digi only. We will get that done. All right. You said something in there that reminds me of what I'm dealing with on the Jordan Love front. You made a claim that you improved as much as anybody during your one shift at Johnson & Sons Paving.
Yes.
You have no evidence whatsoever. Now, could you say I improved a lot from where I started to where I finished? Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. Yes. Can you say that you improved as much as anyone in the paving industry, or however you want to phrase it? No, you don't
that,
know. You don't. You said improved as much as anyone.
As anyone. Yeah, I did say that.
Anyone ever, anyone in the history of the world, whatever it might be, you compared yourself to others who you have no idea. I'm guessing that there was probably one or two Hall of Fame pavers that improved more quickly than you did. But you had a great run. And you definitely improved a lot. We're doing the same thing with Jordan Love's contract now, because he talked yesterday, sort of, about it. And now we got people interpreting everything he said. Well, he meant this. He meant that. You remember the old movie, A Few Good Men, which wouldn't be as good without Jack Nicholson, as you've established?
Yeah, the greatest role player that makes
greatest
you
casting
continue to watch
for
a movie
a specific
of all time.
Role. Yes. Yep.
Yes.
There's another scene in there with one of the other stars of the film, Tom Cruise, if you're familiar with him. He says,
not aware of his work.
It doesn't matter what I believe. It only matters what I can prove. And I can't prove anything based on what Jordan Love said yesterday. But there's everybody and their brother interpreting what he said. And this is why I'm not great at this job, because I don't want to do that. I want to base it on what I know. And I don't know. We're going to talk about that coming up. What I do know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, one, Johnson & Sons, thank you for your service, for welcoming Tausch onto your team. and fun, not allowing him to ruin your project. Great partnership, really fun idea. They spoiled you rotten with all their gifts. I don't think they probably got the return.
And by the way, you got some residue from that, too. Just
I got a sweatshirt.
You got a lot of gifts, too.
Yeah. I got a sweatshirt. Did I get anything else?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
It looks like the roller is still in the box, so maybe you can re-gift it. So thanks to them. Awesome. And a really fun story and great content. Check out our social media channels. You can see Tausch in action in the videos that he and Maddie put together. Secondly, I know this for a fact, nobody's better than Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin when it comes to windows.
Well, no, you know that. And you know what? If you have an older home, if you need new windows, well, the way they did things a century ago, it's a little different than it is today. So give Pella a call today. Their team of experts can customize windows and doors that will match architecture from any era. I'm kind of running out of eras. So help me out. We got the Middle Ages. We got Paleozoic, Cenozoic. What else we got? Have we come up with any other eras?
I feel like I know the Taylor Swift eras better than I know the... What about Art Deco? That's an era, right, for architecture?
All right. Well, anyways, the doors and the architecture, you know, the beautiful part of it is Pella Windows and Doors can match it. They can figure out how to make it work. If you order today from Pella, you get 0% interest for up to 48 months. Certain restrictions do apply. So offer ends June 30th. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more. No, I wasn't interested in singing Taylor Swift songs when it came to, eras. I wanted Paleozoic. I wanted dinosaurs. I wanted woolly mammoth.
Those aren't building eras. We're talking, I don't mean to be a jerk, but I wasn't going to go through the 10 really Taylor Swift eras.
You're very, very good at it.
The Brett Favre era, the Aaron Rodgers era, the Jordan Love era.
The Lynn Dickey era. Yeah. No.
The Shutter era. There was a big Shutter era for Windows, wasn't there, when everybody was throwing shutters up everywhere? Wasn't there?
More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance. I know the perfect time, and maybe that's never. So don't you dare leave me now. Throw my heart on the ground. Cause tonight ain't the night for sorrow. But you can hurt me tomorrow.
Continuing with the most improved member of the Johnson & Sons paving team in one day, the leaps and bounds that he
about
showed
an hour,
in his improvement.
Actually. Around an hour, I improved that much.
Sounds like you kind of worked Jesse's schedule. So, you improved a lot. We can say that definitively. We can say that conversations are occurring on Jordan Love's contract. Booty has said it. Jordan confirmed it yesterday. What we cannot say is whether a deal is close, far away, whether they will get a deal done before start of training camp, whether they won't. We can guess, we can predict, but we don't know. My question for you is, when something like yesterday, and we'll play the back and forth, which, by the way, I missed because I got to Jordan late because I was talking to Zane Anderson, who,
Are you kidding me?
I was there for most of it, but not for the early exchange, which Rob Dabowski did the video. I watched the whole thing, so I got caught up. But Zane Anderson had three interceptions in yesterday's practice. I don't think in all the time I've covered the team, I've seen a dude have three picks in one practice. Not even Al Harris or Charles Woodson during my time covering open practices. So I got over there. This exchange had already occurred, but Rob and I talked after practice, talked to a few others that were there, and the interpretations varied from, sounds like they're going to get something done soon, to I think there was a shift in the tone, and I think he sounded irritated, and he doesn't feel that confident at all. He just said he was optimistic because that was the right thing to say. So there's this wide variance of those that were there in how they interpreted what he said. I don't like doing that. I like dealing in facts. And I don't have any when
Who's
it comes
facts?
To this.
You like dealing in your facts. I'm
no,
sure.
don't. That's just not true. You okay. don't get to pick your own facts. You don't.
People
don't,
do.
I don't
want to.
I don't want to do this.
Well, they do. I'm just
well,
telling
I,
you that they do.
Whoa, Nelly!
You can't just yell facts and say that that's facts. Just so that we're all on the same pitch. Okay.
Here's Jordan Love yesterday at his locker. Here, you know, can you go back on the paver? Here's Jordan Love at his locker yesterday, fielding a myriad of questions about his contract situation. I believe he was asked 6 questions. He used a grand total of 20 words, and at least 2 of the questions he did not answer at all. And he didn't really make a face. Like, he didn't make a... He didn't do a windy... He didn't do anything. His facial expression did not change. And yet some tried to interpret what his silence meant. Here is that exchange at his locker yesterday.
Goody said, yeah, we'd like to get Jordan deals done before starting training camp. Do you have a sense that things will pick up after this mini camp between now and July 22nd?
Yeah, I think they should. That's what he said.
Are you optimistic that something could get done by then?
Yes.
What makes you happy?
This is what I've heard.
How have you handled this process in terms of, do you like to know what's going on and what's being said, or do you just try to disconnect?
What is that?
The process of what's going on.
Oh, yeah, I like being in the mix.
And that's that?
That's that. I'm sure, yeah, it is.
We've yet to find a topic you like talking about less than this one, huh?
By that look, that sounds like maybe you guys are close.
That's our good friend Rob Domofsky with that final question.
The zinger.
From that look, it sounds like you guys might be close. No response. Mm-hmm. And not even a, you know, what was it, the security guard in the Bulls documentary after he's playing the coin
Last
game
dance.
With Jordan. None of that. None of that. Tausch, your thoughts?
Yeah, the deal's going to get done. I think it's really close. And you can sense, I think, how Goody is talking, how Jordan Love handled that yesterday. I think he's ready for it to be done. And you would see more contention. I think he's trying to just stay out of it and not give anything to anybody. I mean, you know, you can't keep a secret. There's a lot of people that it's really difficult to kind of compartmentalize and figure out how to verbalize certain things when you know something. That's the vibe I got. And again, you know, when Tannenbaum joined us and dropped the 60 bomber on us and, oh, do this, and it makes no sense. The Packers want to get this done. When you hear Goody, I think he was on Cheesehead TV talking about how important stability is at the quarterback position. And I think, as they're discussing it, it's been a while since you've had that. And when you can secure that and get that done, all of a sudden, everything else opens up for you because your biggest expenditure is now on the books and you know how to budget and what you can do with other players. I would think, as far as Kenny Clark, that situation too, everything's going to have to kind of wait on what the Jordan Love contract ends up looking like. But that was not, in my opinion, my facts, that was not something that I looked at and thought, boy, there's contention there. It's more like, man, we're pretty close. This is going to get done, but I'm not real interested in sharing that information with y'all. That's what I got from that. That's what I gleaned from that little exchange.
Jesse, what about you?
I don't know how to interpret it because I could listen to it one
That's
way.
That's great radio.
I mean, I could listen.
I don't know. It could be one thing. It could be the other.
I listened to it twice yesterday. And the first time, my gut reaction when the first time I saw it was a deal is close and he's just keeping it tight.
Trust your gut.
They're in the final discussions of the details and this is probably going to happen any day, any minute. And then I listened a second time. And I was like, oh, it sounds like he's kind of upset about something. Because, like, when he's talked in recent weeks about it, it seems like he's been more happy-go-lucky, nonchalant. Like, whatever. Like, seems like it's fine. And then the second time, like, this seemed like he was irked about something that he didn't want to say. Like, it wasn't a calm, like, whatever happens, that's all good. Like, everything's going to work out just fine. He seemed like he was upset about something.
You know what would have been a great question yesterday if Jason wasn't talking to Rudy Ford? What would have been, is there any circumstance that you're not reporting to training camp on time? Would there be any circumstance at that? What a great question that would have been. And that would have forced, if he said, that would have given you that information as far as where things are going. Now, Jordan being a seasoned veteran now of figuring out how to answer questions would have said, I don't anticipate that being the case. Then he could have ended it there. But that's really what this is coming down to. And I think, you know, Jesse, you said happy-go-lucky. Yeah, it's March, April. Now, all of a sudden, you're in the last phase of mini camp, and then it's go time. You have 5 weeks before you report. And within those 5 weeks, you better get something done, or then you have to make a business decision whether or not you're going to play for $10 million. Or you're going to get this done. And it's going to get done. I feel very confident listening to him, listening to Goody. I also felt very confident that Aaron Jones was going to be back as a Green Bay Packer. Take that for what it's worth.
So I want to talk about this a little more because my takeaway was because he was in a fine mood for most of the conversation. He had lots of longer answers to a myriad of other questions. My takeaway is he just did not want to talk about this any more than he absolutely had to. So I didn't take away from it that he was irked or irritated. I think he just feels like, I don't know if it's going to get done or when it's going to get done. I'm not going to worry about it. I definitely don't want to talk about it. And so he went into it with the attitude of, I'm going to take a minimalist approach to my answers because Rob's question that he did not answer, the way to diffuse it is, well, I sure hope so, but we'll have to wait and see. And the fact that he didn't say anything is what leads to some of the interpretation here, right? Because
what's your interpretation?
And this is why I get irritated because I don't think we have enough evidence to say, oh, this is going to get done by training camp. There's no doubt about it. They're working on it. But I would just say this. This is one fact that I would apply to this. Athletes First and David Mulugeta and Andrew Kessler are not going to take a big discount for their client. And the Packers always start, as you know from firsthand experience, they start at a low number and work their way up. Like there have been contract negotiations for this team that have been borderline offensive opening offers from the Packers, right? You know that and I know that. So do I believe that he will be playing on a brand new contract before they kick it off in Brazil? I do. That is my belief. Because I believe what Goody is saying about cost certainty and all the important things that matter. Do I believe that they're going to be able to, no doubt about it, announce that they have signed Jordan Love to an extension when they have their first practice on July 22nd and have their shareholders meeting? I think the Packers want that to happen.
For sure.
But I think that his agents are going to make sure that their guy is getting the number that he deserves in their opinion, and they're not going to just settle. And they're going to, if they have to play some hardball in training camp, I think they're willing to do that based on their track records. Based on their track records. Now, maybe it doesn't come to that. Don't do that. Maybe it doesn't come to that. Maybe you're right. And maybe Domofsky's gut is right. And a week from now, Jordan's joining us via Zoom call from California because he just faxed back or whatever they do nowadays, the signature pro DocuSign, his new contract.
Yeah.
Maybe. But again, I don't think you can walk away from this feeling certain that you know how to interpret how that exchange went. I want to ask Brian Bulaga this, because Brian Bulaga has been through contract negotiations too. He's not a quarterback. You're not a quarterback. They're different, but there are some similarities. So, Tausch, we're not going to do more or less in terms of what that final number is on his contract. I do believe the NBA Finals continue tonight. Have you considered just sitting this one out the way you've performed thus far?
Never.
What? I don't understand why there wasn't a game last night. There is nothing. No
two
NHL.
Days in the travel. 2 days in between when they travel.
Yeah. Day to travel, day to get situated, then you play.
Hogwash. It's hogwash. Poppy.
Tuesday, Thursday. You're telling me Tuesday, Thursday is not better than Wednesday, Friday? Come on, NBA. Get your act together. You know what makes basketball even more fun? Go with a little prize picks action. Select two or more players. Pick more or less on their projected stats. And you submit your lineup. It's that simple. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with just four correct picks. You can choose from traditional stats like points or assists or more unique ones like getting a dunk or some three-pointers. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and injury insurance on your picks. That's what makes Prize Picks America's number one daily fantasy sports app. Join the Prize Picks community of over 5 million users right now. Use the code WI on the Prize Picks app or on prizepicks.com. Again, that's code WI on Prize Picks for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
I hope Brian Bulaga has set aside some extra time. We're getting to him late, but we didn't have him last week. So if he's out at the farm, if he's going golfing.
I wonder if we shouldn't start going to him at 10 and then we just do an hour with him. Like, I think that's
I love
probably
that idea.
In our best interest.
And it may not be in his best interest.
That impedes
but really
on Homer's
matters.
Time then.
Well, we can move Homer around. He's flexible. He only does a 1 hour show. Just ask him. We will talk to Brian Bulaga. He is scheduled to appear.
Oh, snap.
Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
You probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not city we're in, but when I go back home, I've got some famous friends. Yeah, I do. My buddy Jason, he's a sheriff. He'll flash his lights, but let me go.
I'm really sorry. Brian, I'm sorry. I should have managed the clock better. Thank you for your service to be willing to stick around for longer than you're scheduled to appear. The great Brian Bulaga joins us on Wildy and Tausch. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Blue, where was your trip? I don't want to put your business out on the streets, but you just went somewhere fun, didn't you?
Yeah, I was in Scotland for a week golfing.
Oh, you dog.
God, they call it golf there.
Yep.
You play the old course?
I did, yeah. Played the old course. Unfortunately, we played it, and it was 40-mile-an-hour winds. The caddy said...
Like, you got to pierce.
Like Scotland.
You got to pierce it.
Yeah. The caddies were telling us that if the Open or any tournament was being played there that day, they would have postponed the match until the wind got under control. So whenever they say it's really blowing out here, it's really gusty, I'm never buying it, because they really protect these pros. They don't want to see them suffer the way I did out there. You're talking aiming, 50 yards to the left and letting the wind just push the ball back into the same hemisphere as
shot
where the
shapes.
Fairway is. No, it was, shot shapes. it was mostly the way the wind was coming in. It was mostly left to right shot shapes, and it was tough. It was tough conditions out there. I still shot what did I shoot 85. Still played good.
Yeah, I'll take that. So did you go over the hotel? And we'll stop golf talk after this. But 17, you got the hotel. You got to hit over it. Did you take that line, or did you bail out left?
I took the, I went over the hotel with a 4-iron because it was a little it was a little downwind, and to the right is the way the wind was blowing, downwind to the right. So I took it over the hotel starting a little bit left, and the wind, I still ended up just in the rough, not in the bad stuff, just in the rough. And I made five because that green is not easy to hit.
Yeah, a little road hole green is tough. Tough road.
Oh. That, and like I'll tell you, the ball hits that green and it's like concrete. It like hits it and it just bounces off the green. It's unbelievable.
Wildy would shoot. Wildy would have shot a 400 out there, wouldn't you? 400, not a 200, would you? You old rascal. All right, Blue. Jordan Love contract talks. We just were. That's what got us. You know, we're a little bit late to you today. We don't know. Jason doesn't want to predict. I don't know if you heard all of the dialogue with some of the other beat people that were actually interviewing Jordan at the time. But if you were Jordan Love, a couple shots at you, sure. If you were Jordan Love, do you report to camp if you're making $11 million and you should be making 53?
Yeah, I think he's – I would still report. I mean, I really think that this is going to get done. I really do. And again – from his point of view, he has to know, and his team knows too, like his agents and everything, like they're going to get the money that they're looking for. And I just feel like if he doesn't show up, I mean, I'm not saying it paints him in a bad light, but like we've talked about this before. He played really well at the end of the year, but the body of work to hold out because you haven't gotten a new deal yet isn't necessarily there yet. You know, like, I don't know. Maybe if this was his second year, so technically going into his third year starting, you know, if we were to look at it that way, and he had performed the way he did last year, the last 2 years, then yes, I totally understand him holding out and being like, you know what? If you guys don't think that I've provided enough on the field for you guys to just pay up, then okay, I'm going to sit out. But, you know, he played really well, like I said, for the last half of the year. He is, but he just doesn't have the complete body of work yet that I think would be necessary for a quarterback to just not show up. Like, I just don't see that happening with him. And, yeah, he's going to get a little testy about it. I mean, if you guys keep asking him about it, which that's your job, Jason and Domofsky, you guys are going to keep –
not
pressing
me.
His buttons
I
on
wasn't
he's
there
gonna...
as Taus made sure he
came
out.
A Rudy Ford.
Oh, okay.
Zane well, you know, Anderson and I are getting tight.
I was going to say, you know, he keeps getting asked about it. He's going to get a little testy, which I understand it. But I think this thing gets done and it's all water under the bridge come either by the start of training camp or middle of training camp. I think it's done.
So let me ask you both this then, if I can be part of the conversation, at least briefly, before you go back to ripping me. How can we say that he doesn't have the body of work to hold out and not come to training camp if he doesn't have a deal done? And at the same time say that based on the timing of this contract and what he did in the second half of last season, he has an argument to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Can you be both those things at the same time?
So – first off, and this is no rip on him, I don't think he should be the highest paid quarterback in the league. So,
I agree.
That's just, I'm just being super honest there. Like, do I think he's going to be a fantastic quarterback and continue to play the way he did? Yeah, I do. I think he's really good. I just don't think he's highest paid in the league. But, you know, how these contracts work themselves out for quarterbacks, it's going to be what it's going to be. But, like, I always feel like, at least when I was playing, and there weren't many holdouts. I can't even really remember a holdout in my time with the Packers. I don't remember a guy never not showing up to training camp, to be honest with you. Maybe there was, and I forgot about it. But you would normally see guys that, or you look around the league, the guys that do it. A lot of the time it's guys that I would say are pretty well established within their career, right? They've achieved a lot. They've accomplished a lot. They really feel like they're underpaid and they're holding out to make a point about it. And like, I'm not saying that he hasn't accomplished, because yes, he did play well last year. Again, I'll continue to say it, and I want to stick up for him and say that he should do whatever it takes to get his money. But like, I just don't see this as the right opportunity to hold out for him right now. I just don't think it's the right time for him to hold out. Cause still at the end of the day, I still feel like if he does everything right, right? Say he doesn't get the deal done by camp, but he shows up and he's performing well and he goes to these joint practices and he's performing really well. This is all just ammo for him in negotiations. Like, it just makes his case stronger to the team if he's performing well in camp, performing well in the joint practices, and showing this is who I am. What you saw last year is who I am. It's time to pay up for what you've seen and what you're going to continue to get. So I just don't think it's the right time for him to hold out, per se. I mean, maybe you guys feel different. I don't think it's the right time.
No, I agree with you. I just, again, if it's not done by the start of training camp, which you guys both think that it will be, I don't know what to think, because he did not. If it was as close as we want to believe it is, I do believe that the tone would have been a little more lighthearted yesterday, even though it was, you know, he and I know you listened to it, Brian, while you were waiting to come on. The bottom line is that his agents owe it to him to get the most they can. And their track record would indicate that they're not – it's show business. It ain't show friends for these guys. And so I do think – and that you guys know this from having been players. Your agent's job is to be the bad guy. Right? That's their job. Like, you get to be the good guy. Hey, I want to be there, but hey, you know, it's a business thing and I got my people handling it. And so I'm sorry I'm not there, or I'm going to not worry about it. I'm just going to focus on football. All the things that you guys would say when you're in those kind of situations, that's the job of the agent, is to take the heat, to take the shrapnel. You know, it's my fault my guy's not there because we haven't gotten it done. But do I think it's going to come to that? No, if you make me pick, I don't think it's going to come to that. But I also think that when we're talking about generational wealth and life-changing money, as much as I like Mike Tannenbaum, the idea of playing on an $11 million contract this year would be malpractice. He deserves more security than that.
So then you'd advise him to sit out if he doesn't get a new deal, he shouldn't play. Yeah, and I think to Brian's point, it's just different at quarterback, and especially the fact he's only done this for a season. So I don't think he should play for 11 either. I think he should go in, work, and continue to showcase his abilities to his front office. And the tricky part of this is going to be for both him and his agents, the Packers probably feel really good about paying him a certain amount if it's $50 million. But in 2 years, when Jordan Love signed a five-year deal and it's, you know, averaging 52 and he's playing at a high level and all of these other quarterbacks are making 60-plus, that's when, and we saw this with Aaron Rodgers when he was underpaid. You have that, and you have to kind of think through how is that going to work? Because it's not about what you've done in the past. That shows what you – it's what do I envision him doing in the future? That's how they're paying. And they envision him being one of the best players in the league. So I would disagree with Blue on the fact that I would bet his team is saying, we need to get paid more than what Joe Burrow's getting paid right now. Because we know that when Patrick Mahomes gets a new – and Josh Allen and everybody else is going to fly by sick Dak Prescott, they're going to fly by 60-some million – this contract, a 5-year deal, in 2 years is going to look like we didn't know what the hell we were doing. And that's the tough part and why this is such a complicated negotiation that they're dealing with.
Well, yeah. Are we going to break? I was going to say.
You go ahead with your thoughts.
You don't want to mess up the clock that we have 2 segments left before the 10 o'clock hour. 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I don't want to mess up anything, but I agree with Tausch that his agents have to look at it that way, and I'm all for that. And I'm not saying that his agent shouldn't look at beating Joe Burrow's deal. Like I think that should be their goal. That should be what they want to do. And hey, if they're able to get that, I'm all for it. I'm just – what I was saying is that I don't think – at least right now, I don't think he is the best in the league. But the quarterback position, as we've seen with the contracts, that doesn't really matter, right? Like it's always right. Whoever's up next gets the next biggest one, and that's just the way it goes kind of, right? Like so I understand kind of what his side is probably thinking. And from the Packers' point of view, they're probably trying to – pinpoint this thing down to where he is based on other quarterbacks. And unfortunately, that's just not the way it works. Like with the way the modern quarterback contract goes, like it's whoever's up next gets the next biggest amount and you roll from there. And that's probably where they're at a sticking point right now would be my guess.
We'll keep rolling with Brian Bulaga and our outstanding clock management. Stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Missed any of the show? Find us on Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you. Back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know I'm here in this big city we're in. But when I go back home, I've got some
fun. Continuing with Brian Bulaga, Iowa, and Scotland. You hit the ball over a hotel?
Yeah, you get it. It's a tough line. You got to do it. You got to do.
Is it like 2 stories, 10 stories? Like, how high is the hotel?
It's a big hotel. So, like, what it is there's in front of the tee box, there's part of the hotel. And then the patio in the entire hotel runs a little bit further right of that. Like bar or hotel, whatever that is in front of the tee box, the hotel's all down the right side. Like it's all right there. Like you are right on the golf course if you're standing at the Jigger Inn, which is a bar right there, and you can watch people play. That's the name of it. And you can just stand there and just watch people play 17 all day. And it's literally the bar patio is right on the course. So, there were times where, you know, before we were getting ready to play golf in the morning and we'd have our back patio door open and you'd hear balls hitting the hotel and hitting the roof and things like that because people are spraying it. And that's just it's the way it goes.
All right. So, Brian, I'm curious, you know, I was getting a little bit of grief for talking to Zane Anderson yesterday when Jordan Love started. But Zane Anderson had 3 interceptions in 1 practice. Which I had not seen before, not even from a Charles Woodson in an 11-on-11. They were all 11-on-11. This wasn't like, you know, one-on-one wide receiver cornerback drills. These were in 11-on-11 periods. And he's a guy who's playing a position where he's competing with 3 draft picks. They've got Xavier McKinney. It was the kind of story that, as a reporter, you write in the offseason because – realistically, Zane Anderson is going to contribute on special teams. They didn't draft Javon Bullard for Zane Anderson to start next to Xavier McKinney. But I am curious, given both of your times in this league, are there moments in the offseason program and in minicamp and in OTAs where guys can actually do something that changes how they're viewed? Or is this much ado about nothing? Like, Tausch, if you would have had a great offseason in 2000 but stunk it up in training camp, they're not starting you in Dotson's place when he gets hurt. They're just not. Doesn't matter what you were all Oneida during May and June. Brian, you were a first-round pick, so it's a little bit different. But I'm just wondering, all this time I'm spending at practice when they allow us to go, how valuable is this in your mind? How much does this matter for this team? Or does it not really matter until we get to July 22nd and practices start in training camp?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good to see what some of these guys are capable of doing and how they look and how they're absorbing the new information from the new defensive coordinator and how they're kind of fitting in into the scheme. But I don't think, besides the obvious guys right now, there's no positions being won or lost at this time of year, right? Like, and it's really hard to take it's hard to take these types of practices and look at them as like, yes, that is what that guy is able to do in a real game consistently. Like, it's kind of like the what we used to call spring practice in college, like the season for no reason. That's kind of what the OTA process is right now. And listen, like, you want these young guys to go out and get this experience and have success to get confidence, but where you're really going to learn about them is in training camp, right? Like, that's where they're going to cement themselves and kind of show the upper management what they're about. Like, now, like you said, if he has a great OTAs, which it sounds like he's having, and he goes into camp and he doesn't really perform the same way or performs way less, then, I mean, it's going to hurt him because they're not going to remember what he did in OTAs, right? Like, that's kind of just a thing of the past at that point. It's all about what happens in camp and how he performs in camp, and not just in Packer versus Packer, but when he get, because he's obviously going to get a ton of snaps in the preseason games, right? He's going to play a lot of snaps in those games, and then the joint practices are going to be a big thing for him as well. So it's going to be what he proves during training camp. And that would be at least how I view it.
Wildy, it sounds like you got this guy starting opposite Jair.
I don't. But the reason I ask this, the reason I ask this is because I am trying to figure out what they're doing on the offensive line, and I'm wondering if it's the same deal, that I shouldn't be really reading too much into it. Like yesterday, they used Andre Dillard at left tackle and Jordan Morgan, who walked right in here when he got here and said he wants to protect Jordan Love's blind side. He was at right tackle. He's also worked at guard. But again, you guys have played the position. They're not in pads. It's shorts and T-shirts and helmets. Tausch, I asked you this yesterday while I was at practice about the running game. I don't know how much we are really gleaning about this offensive line from this offseason. And to me, Sean Ryan still has to prove it, even though they rotated him in a bunch. Rasheed Walker still has to prove it, even though he started 17 games last year for them. And the rookies have to prove it. And that's Jordan Morgan, just because he's a first-round pick. You know, again, you had a great career, Brian, but you didn't start right away. This old war horse was in front of you first. And so this was one of the things that I went into the offseason thinking, all right, I want to come out of this having a really good idea who they want their starting five to be. And I don't think I have any good idea. And maybe that's how it's supposed to work in the offseason with that position.
Yeah, but you have a pretty good idea of where there's four, and I think they want the young guy to win that left tackle spot at some point, maybe not the first week. Maybe it could be kind of like how Brian, you know, if there's an injury or if somebody's not playing well, and everybody sees the raw athleticism that Jordan Morgan has. You see it. You know that he is going to be one of those guys that can move and play the position. Now, whether or not he's got all the intangible things,
technique,
you don't know. But, and that maybe he'll take a little bit of time, but that's a case where you let that shake out and you're fine with it because you do want guys pushing each other. You want to make sure, you know, oh, if I'm a little sore, you want guys to have to fight through some stuff because they know that they're going to get Wally pipped if it doesn't happen. That's a good thing to have in your locker room, is that accountability that you need to be out there and to perform. And if you're not, there's somebody that is there. And I think to your first question about how important the spring is and everything else, totally agree. You're going to forget about how guys, you know, Zane Anderson's three picks, even though fairly confident it's going to be chronicled in the State Journal at a high level soon, what it does allow you to do is it gives the coaches a look and say, we need to give this kid more opportunities to show that when the pads are on and in games and in joint practices, he needs to get more opportunities. Where if you're just a guy and you're not doing that, it's just going to stay, all right, ones get four, twos get three, and then we'll just throw the other guys some reps whenever we can find it. Your goal, if you're a young player, is to say, I want to figure out how can I get the coaches to put me in more so that I can actually show what I can do when the pads come on. That's what the spring and these OTAs and everything is about for most of these guys.
Yeah, and I think, Jason, kind of what you're seeing with the offensive line right now, I think they're just trying to get guys ready, mentally ready, to know when they go into camp what's going to be asked of them positionally, where they're going to have to take snaps at, where they're going to have to take reps at, so they don't get into training camp and then they put a guy somewhere and go, hey, figure it out now, right? They're kind of given, especially with the injury to Zach Tom,
right?
They're given, you know, Dillard and Morgan these opportunities to move to different spots and figure out where they're going to be tested in training camp because they're going to move Morgan around, right? Like, I think he's going to get moved to left to right, maybe some guard. I don't know how often that'll happen. And then Dillard, regardless of how he's looked in OTAs, he's got a lot to prove, man. Like, he's not a guy that is just going to walk into Green Bay and earn a job. I mean, he's walked into a lot of places and has been given opportunities, and it hasn't gone well in the past. So he's got a lot to show that this scheme and this style fits him perfectly, and he's a new player now. And if it does turn out that way, that he fits really well into this and he's playing really well, that's a huge bonus for Green Bay. Enormous, that if he comes in and he's changed as a player and he's comfortable in the scheme and he's a guy you can rely on, that's a huge bonus. But he's got to prove that. Like, that's not something that he's shown throughout his career that he's been able to do, right? And that was with this Philly scheme, and it was with the Titans, right? And I think he was with the Titans. Am I right on that?
You're correct. Yep.
Yeah, so he's had opportunities, and it hasn't worked out. So he has a ton to prove. Nothing, definitely nothing is going to be given to him.
Yeah, remember the Titans, Blue. Always remember the Titans when it comes to Dillard.
I don't want to gain another yard.
If Dillard is playing meaningful snaps, that means something has gone wrong. Dillard was brought in because Zach Tom popped a peck. If he didn't pop a peck, I don't think Dillard's here. So if Dillard is playing meaningful snaps, that means there's injuries, and that means that maybe your young guy's not ready for prime time yet. Now, it's Dillard's job throughout this part of the season, and it sounds like, you know, he's getting opportunities, and they give opportunities because guys are showing that they deserve opportunities. So kudos to him if that's what is going on. But I'm telling you, from the Packers standpoint, he was signed as an American Family Insurance policy that you hope to never use. And if you are using it, it means A, your analysis on your draft maybe wasn't as good, or B, something is with Rashid Walker, some injuries that have occurred, and you have to you're forced to play him out there. Because as Blue said, he's one of those high picks. And I always say this, high picks have to prove they can't play over and over again, and low picks have to continue to prove over and over that they can. And Dillard would fall into that first category.
And he's had opportunities to play.
A bunch.
A lot of opportunities.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
A lot of opportunities. So, listen, I hope for his sake that maybe he's turned a corner. Maybe he had an off season of reflection of where he wants to take his career, and this is a new start, and he's going to try to make the most out of it. But I just don't see – I mean, at least I haven't seen it. You don't see guys bounce around from team to team to team and finally land one in their third shot and be like, yep, this is it. It fits and it clicks, and the guy's now playing at a super high level at left tackle. Like, it's just very – it doesn't happen that way. You know what I mean? It just doesn't normally work that way. But I'm with Tausch. Like, if he's playing, something's happened that they were not preparing for or they didn't anticipate. And I hope that's not the case, right? I hope we get to week one, we have our starting five that is the best starting five, and whether that's Rasheed Walker or Morgan at left tackle, because I think the other four positions, like Tau said, are pretty set. I think they feel good about four out of the five. And then it's just a matter of who's playing left tackle. And obviously that's a huge question. It's not a small question. But they have options available. It's just what option shows itself as the best. And they have three guys, Dillard, Walker, and Morgan. Who's going to win that thing? And that's what this is coming down to.
Yeah, and as long as Zach Tom continues, he started lifting a little bit, so that's progress for him. Again, I keep hearing that little Brian Bulaga voice in my ear talking about how playing the offensive line, coming back from a torn pec, is not easy. And so we'll see exactly when he gets out there. But he's got a lot on tape that he's shown that he can play the position. They don't need to have him back the first day of training camp. All right, Brian, you're on the farm. We will let you get to Jason and Kelsey, the donkeys, and the Orange Grove and everything else. Thanks for sticking around a little extra time today, buddy.
No problem, guys. Take care.
We will let Brian go. We will let Tausch tell us about Coors Light, and then we'll get to the 10 o'clock hour closer to 10:30.
Well, Coors Light brewed with a 30-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it's cold packaged, so it's made to chill. And you get done doing a hard day's work, getting asphalt laid down. There's nothing better than just sitting with the fellas, cracking open a cold Coors Light. You got to make sure the silver bullet, those cold activated bottles and cans are blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection. So it is Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, a Golden, Colorado.
We'll kick off the 10 o'clock hour in 2 minutes. Stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.